ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ श्रीमद्भागवतम् द सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड यमराज इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज मैसेंजर्स टेक्स्ट 13। यम उवाच परो मदन्यो जगदस्तस्थुषश्च परो मदन्यो जगदस्तस्थुषश्च ओतं प्रोतं पटवद् यत्र विश्वम् यदंशतोऽस्य स्थितिजन्मनाश नस्योतवद्यस्य वशे च लोकः।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation. Yamraj said, "My dear servants, you have accepted me as the Supreme, but factually I am not. Above me and above all the other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one Supreme Master and Controller. The partial manifestations of His personality are Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this universe. He is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose." Purport. The order carriers of Yamraj suspected that there was a ruler even above Yamraj. To eradicate their doubts, Yamraj immediately replied, "Yes, there is one supreme controller above everything. Yamraj is in charge of some of the moving living entities, namely the human beings. But the animals who also move are not under his control. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong. And among them only, those who perform sinful activities come under the control of Yamraj. Therefore, although Yamraj is a controller, he is only a departmental controller of a few living entities. There are other demigods who control many other departments. But above them all is one supreme controller, Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. The supreme controller is Krishna. Others who control their own departments in the affairs of the universe are insignificant in comparison to Krishna, the supreme controller. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Matta Partaram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya." My dear Dhananjaya Arjun, no one is superior to me. Therefore, Yamraj immediately cleared away the doubts of his assistants, the Yamadutas, by confirming that there is a supreme controller above all others. Srila Madhvacharya explains that the words otam protam refer to the cause of all causes. The Supreme Lord is both vertical and horizontal to the cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed by the following verse from the Skanda Purana. Yata kantha pataha sutra otaha protascha sasthitaha evam vishna vidam vishvam otam protam cha samsthitam. Like the two threads, horizontal and vertical, of which a quilt is manufactured, Lord Vishnu is situated as the vertical and horizontal cause of the cosmic manifestation. Hare Krishna. In this verse, we find an interesting psychology of the inquiring student or a disciple and the authoritative leader or the spiritual master. We are seeing that the Yamadutas typically exhibiting the psychology of a materially conditioned living entity have experienced two different emotions in two different situations. Like Govind Prabhu says, that success in this material world leads to pride, and failure in this material world leads to depression or envy towards others, because one could not succeed in that situation. We find the Yamadutas just a few years back, a few shlokas back, are telling Yamaraj that till now there was never a time when we were impeded in our service. We were successful and victorious everywhere. Taking your order as our command, as soon as you would go to take a living entity, there was no question as sure as death. There was no question that the living entity would be saved. So they were moving around, they were moving on the chariot of their own false ego, one side of which is success and pride. And just 2-3 verses back, they're experiencing the other side of the false ego, where they have terribly failed. Their physical prowess, their weapons, their intellectual prowess, the threats of their master Yamaraj, nothing worked. The Vishnudutas defeated them physically, defeated them intellectually with arguments, and with their beauty, they attracted even the Yamdutas so much that they decided to just go away from there. And in their failure, they come to Yamaraj and say that we are so depressed, we feel like committing suicide. And then the next step that such a psychology leads to is searching somebody to throw the responsibility upon for this frustration that one is experiencing. And therefore, in yesterday's verse and in this verse, we find that the Yamdutas are almost angry with Yamraj, that you are responsible for our present frustrated condition, our failure. You are our master, you have given us orders, and your orders have failed. So they are angry with Yamraj. And thus, they speak yesterday's verses. Now this is a typical psychology of what happens to the conditioned living entity as a result of denial of God as a supreme controller. As soon as we deny our relationship with God as the servant of the Lord, as an insignificant part and parcel of the Lord, and we take life into our own hands, then naturally in this world you will experience success sometimes, failure sometimes. And since we don't have the Lord to fall back upon or to understand that He is the controller and He is the creator and He is the cause of all causes, then naturally the living entity is tossed about and bounced about in this material world simply in the circle of his own false ego, sometimes experiencing pride in success, sometimes experiencing failure and envy in failure, and in both situations, looking for somebody to throw the responsibility upon so that one can live in a justified mode that I am good and I am right. We find a similar situation in Arjuna also. When Arjuna was bewildered by the Supreme Lord personally so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken, we find Arjuna as playing the part of a conditioned role, showing the exact same psychology. In one verse in the first chapter, Arjuna tells Krishna, "My dear Krishna, please take my chariot in the middle of the battlefield and let me see who has come to fight with me." Senayor ubayor madhye ratham sthapayam echyuta yavanetam nirikshaham yodhukaman avasthitam. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that he explains two names of Krishna. One name is Achyuta. Achyuta means one who never fails or falls in performing his duty. And because Krishna loves his devotees so much, Krishna never ever fails in reciprocating the love of his devotee. So now Arjuna has requested Krishna to become his chariot driver. And Krishna, unfailing in his duty, wants to reciprocate and is therefore following Arjuna's instructions. Prabhupada also explains that Krishna is the master of the total senses, Rishikesha. And the living entity must offer his or her senses for Krishna's pleasure. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So Krishna, he is Rishikesh and he is the controller of the chariot. And if this body is a chariot, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. So, one devotee was explaining that similarly, the living entity wants to go and watch the world. Let me see who is there to fight with me. And Krishna, who is actually the chariot driver, he is the main person in the chariot within this body. He is actually even the owner of this chariot. He is the owner of the person also, who is staying in this chariot for some time, the living entity. He takes the living entity, okay, by his causeless mercy. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridde Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani. Throughout the universe, the living entity is helpless on his own. So the living entity feels, let me go here, let me go there, let me see this, let me see that. Nirikshayam, let me see it. And then, when the living entity, in pride, is trying to see the world, naturally the other side of false ego also comes sometimes. And seeing his attachments, Arjuna, and Krishna interestingly brings Arjuna right in front of Bhishma and Drona. And Gaurang Prabhu was explaining to us in the Brahmachari classes that Bhishma is Arjuna's attachment to his family and Drona is Arjuna's attachment to his career. Because Bhishma was like Pitama, he had taken care of them, care of the Pandavas all the time. And Drona is like the person who gave the career guidance. You know, like if you are connected to the IIT or MBA or a big degree, then a big career is in front of you. So when the living entity looks in this world and becomes entangled in his or her attachments, gradually becomes bewildered. And then starts justifying, giving so many reasons Arjuna gives. I should fight, not fight. No, 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 it's not good. Let me give up this fight and go into the forest. And after all this discussion, total bewilderment comes upon Arjuna and he says, Na chaitad vidmaha kataram no gariyo yadva jayema yadivano jayeyuhu. Krishna, I don't know what is good for me. Kataram no gariyo. What is good for me? Should I fight in the battle and kill the enemies? Or should I just give up everything, go to the forest, and it's almost like committing suicide? So we are seeing the same situation that Arjuna is experiencing that the Yamdutas were experiencing. Both, of course, Yamdutas are actually conditioned souls, and Arjuna was put in a conditioned environment by Krishna to teach Bhagavad Gita to him and to the whole world. On one hand, Arjuna is saying, let me see who has come to fight with me. And when he sees his attachments, he sees his career, his money, he becomes scared and just completely bewildered. He says, let me forget this fight and let me go into the forest. I don't want to fight. Eva mukta rishikesham gudakesha parantapa nayotsya iti govindam uktva tushnim bahuvaha. Uktva tushnim bahuvaha. Speaking like this, Arjuna said, Na yotsya iti govindam, I shall not fight. And bahuvaha, he just kept quiet, became silent. He spoke of his pride, he spoke of his depression, and finally became silent. Govinda, I shall not fight. So, the inquiring student might exhibit so many of his psychologies of showing pride, showing depression, but when he becomes quiet and he actually surrenders Karpanya dosho pahatas swabhavan. Prichami tuam dharma samoda cheta. Samoda cheta, I am really bewildered completely. Please help me. Nothing. Yachokamuchonam indriyanam. Nothing in this entire universe is going to satisfy my mind and senses. They are just drying up completely. In that state, one is qualified to hear transcendental knowledge. And then Krishna starts speaking to Arjuna. Similarly, the Yamdutas, expressing their pride all these years, expressing their depression and frustration to Yamaraj, they are empty from within now. And now Yamaraj starts speaking in this verse. So the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, in the introductory verses, Shukadeva Goswami explains, this is the qualification for transcendental knowledge. Nivritta tarishe rupagiyamanat pavaushadachotra manobiramat. This transcendental nectar of Krishna's pastimes, Bhava Aushada, which is the medicine for this material disease, manoviramat, and is very nectarian to the mind and to the heart, is wonderful. However, there is one qualification. Nivritta tarishir. When one is exhausted of all material desires, then such a person can understand and appreciate these transcendental messages of the Lord. Therefore, Kunti Maharani says, Akinchana gocharam, tuam akinchana gocharam. Krishna, you are the poverty, you are the property of the materially impoverished. Namo akinchana vittaya. In the nectar of instruction also, in the 5th verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that when one is exhausted of all material desires and inquiries, then one is qualified to inquire from the spiritual master to hear of transcendental topics. Till then, the inquiry doesn't even begin because one is just full of one's own pride and one's own depression, both the aspects of the false ego. Unless that heart is empty of all these material egoistic desires, mental desires, one cannot hear transcendental instructions. So this is the psychology of the inquiring student. Now, we shall discuss a little bit about the psychology of the leader and the master. What Yamaraj starts speaking in this verse? Immediately Yamaraj points out that yes, Yamdutas, what you are speaking is true. There is a master and a controller above me. And he gives two examples in this verse. Number one, that this creator of this entire universe is the complete creator. He is the supreme creator. Just like a cloth is created by the vertical and the horizontal threads. Similarly, everything you see in this universe is directly or indirectly created by Krishna. Indirectly by his partial manifestations and then directly empowered by him. That's the first example he gives. And Yamaraj starts explaining that he is not just the creator who has created and gone away. He's also the controller. And he's such a complete controller that just like a bull is tied by the nose with a rope, in whichever direction he's pulled, the bull has to move. Similarly, everything in this creation is known and controlled by the Lord. Nothing can move without his sanction or without his will. This is the psychology of a good master. He immediately points to his authority and his master. What happens when a master tries to take control in his or her hands? Does not point to his own authority. He destroys himself and he destroys the faith of his own followers. Both become destroyed. We see in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 9th verse of the 3rd chapter, when Brahmaji actually comes to see Hiranyakashipu performing his austerities, when the demigods have requested Lord Brahma that this Hiranyakashipu, who has two specific desires because of which he is performing austerities, his first desire is that he wants to take your position and he wants to become the supreme controller. And his second desire is, he wants, after taking a position, he wants to change the entire course of the universe. If you perform pious activities, you go to hell. If you perform impious activities, you go to heaven. So this is Hiranyakashipu's demoniac plan. Please help us, save us. So when Brahmaji actually goes to Hiranyakashipu, in the 9th verse, he expresses his wonder. For many verses, he says, Hiranyakashipu, this is amazing. What kind of austerities you have performed? Even the great sages cannot perform these austerities. No one in the creation has performed such austerities. And he starts glorifying Hiranyakashipu. And then, when he actually sprinkles his water from the Kamandalu, when Hiranyakashipu gets the shining golden body, Hiranyakashipu in turn starts glorifying Lord Brahma and says, you are the supreme controller. You are the controller of goodness, passion and ignorance. Everything comes from you. Therefore, I beg you, please award me immortality. Now, it's very interesting. I don't know why Brahmaji did not immediately point to him as the creator, because I have not read or understood it yet. But seeing this pastime from this perspective, we see that Brahmaji was really impressed with Hiranyakashipu. And he saw Hiranyakashipu's austerities as his own personal endeavors. Thus, he glorified him like that. And he finds Hiranyakashipu glorifying Brahma as the supreme, and Brahmaji accepting it without chastising him that there is a supreme above me. And that is why in the later pastimes we find Brahmaji begging forgiveness, sorry for giving such benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. And we find Narasimhadeva actually chastising Lord Brahma. Why do you give such benedictions to such demons? They destroy the peace of the universe and they actually offend my devotees. We also find that Lord Shiva, when Vrikasur was worshipping Lord Shiva as the supreme and praying that for him to come and performing such horrible austerities, at that time Lord Shiva came there. And Vrikasur, hoping and knowing Lord Shiva to be the supreme, requested him for a benediction. Anyone's head I touch, let it burst into 1,000 pieces. And just see what happened to the follower when he got such a benediction. His demoniac tendency increased so much that the first thing he wanted to do was to kill the master. Destroy Lord Shiva himself. So when the master does not explain that I am a servant of somebody, and he tries to show himself to be supreme, then his followers, what is their prayer? Tumse badkar kaun? Tumhare bhakto mein humse badkar kaun? You are great. I am also very great. I will show you how great I am. In fact, I'll sit on top of your head and I'll become greater than you also. So if one shows such a mentality as a master that I am the best and I am the supreme, then the servants will also develop the very same mentality. The master is destroyed and the servant is destroyed. We find this in Rikasur's case. Interestingly, this happens even with the devotees, like the demigods. In the 8th canto, when we find Gajendra in a very precarious condition, his leg has been chewed by the crocodile to the point of death. There's a fight for thousands of years. And Gajendra is realizing that now I'm losing my strength because I'm in an artificial atmosphere. And Gajendra, seeing his strength reducing in the most desperate situation, is awakened to his original devotion to the Supreme Lord, which he had developed in his previous lifetime as King Indradyumna. Evam vyavasito buddhya samadhayo manohridi prak janma vimokshanam. In the last lifetime, prak janma, whatever he had learned as Maharaj Indradyumna, he focused it on his heart and mind, and in that deep devotion, started praying to the Lord. Something very interesting happened. The Lord came as fast with great eagerness to save Gajendra. And in the 31st verse of the 3rd chapter of the 8th canto, it is explained in the translation by Shukadeva Goswami that when the Supreme Lord was coming on his carrier, at that time all the demigods were also around him offering prayers. And why they were offering prayers, that Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada quotes him, says that when Gajendra was offering prayers, Gajendra was very clear that he is offering prayers to that one Supreme Lord. And the demigods, they could have come to save Gajendra. But knowing very well that they are not called, they felt offense. They felt offended. We are so powerful over here, and we can help him, but he's not calling us. So they felt offended. But when they saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is coming, then they realized that we are just his tiny servants. So to be saved from that offensive mentality, thinking that Gajendra was offensive to us, they came along with the Supreme Lord, and while the Lord was coming, they were offering prayers. Oh Lord, please forgive us, you know, for our offensive mentality.
Sontasarasurubalena grihitarto drishtva garutmati harim saukha upata chakram drishtva garutmati harim.
Gajendra saw drishtva garutmati on Garuda, Harim, the Supreme Lord is coming, upata chakram with his chakra. And around him, all the demigods are there. So the demigods, why were they feeling offended? Because the prayers were directed towards their master. Narayana akhilo jagadguru namaste. He prayed that, oh Narayana, akhila jagadguru, jagadguru, I am praying to you. Namaste. Please, you kindly come and save me. So they were feeling offended that, you know, we are the supreme here. We are the controllers. But when the real master came, then their minds became clear and they started offering prayers to the Lord. Please forgive us for this offensive mentality. In fact, we have seen from the life of Brahmaji, that pastime with Hiranyakashipu, with Lord Shiva's pastime with Vrikasur, that when the master does not take a subservient position in front of his master and also the demigods in Gajendra's pastime, then they destroy the faith of the follower and they pass on the tradition to the follower that you also have to become the master and ultimately become the boss. That's the material mentality. We find in Prabhupada's pastimes, so emphatically Prabhupada, again and again, took no credit for all the wonderful devotional heroic exploits that he showed within this world when he was performing his pastimes here or spreading Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. In fact, one time, one lady who had just been witness to the ecstatic Guru Puja, she came up to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, these people are actually worshipping you. And Prabhupada, in his transcendental humor, in his natural demeanor, said, that is natural, because I am worshipping my spiritual master. I am also worshipping my spiritual master, and therefore they are worshipping me. And that is the parampara system. It's perfectly okay. What's so wonderful about it? In fact, when we were in Mayapur in March this year, Badrinarayan Prabhu, who was giving his Bhagavatam class, gave some interesting realizations. One time he was out on book distribution, and he gave a book out to somebody on the street. And that person gave some money to Badrinarayan Prabhu, and he gave a large donation. He said, you're such a nice person, you're so enthusiastic. I would like to give you this donation so that you can use it for yourself. He said, for myself? No. This donation is for my spiritual master. It's not for me. It all goes to my guru, my spiritual master. So this man took out some more money and gave it to Badrinarayan Prabhu. Some more Lakshmi. And he said, fine, if you have to give something to your guru, then you keep this for yourself, because I want to give something to you. He said, no, this also goes to my guru. Whatever I collect on Sankirtan is not my property. It's my guru's property. He said, but I want to give it to you. I like you so much. I said, that is okay. But it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my guru. So then that man was arguing with him. Why not? Why don't you take this money? I want to give it to you. And then when Badrinarayan Prabhu was thinking in retrospect, when he was contemplating, he started thinking for himself that why is it that I'm giving my body, my mind, my energies, and whatever I collect, that also I'm giving it to my guru. Why is that? Because I know for sure that he is a servant of his guru. He was explaining that we could see that Srila Prabhupada was so eager to fulfill the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati at all cost, total sacrifice, that inspired and infused total sacrifice in his disciples. That was his inspiration. He could understand that my guru is a servant of his guru. And therefore he was inspired to serve Srila Prabhupada in such a way. In fact, a few days before, One devotee was telling the pastime of Atma Tattva Prabhu's initiation. Yeah, he came to the temple and there was initiation ceremony, and Loknath Maharaj was requesting that, now you also take initiation next year, next day. So then Atma Tattva Prabhu said, I need to watch, let me see for some time. And then in the Guru Puja, devotees were ecstatically dancing, chanting, offering prayers to Srila Prabhupada, offering puja. And when the devotees were chanting the prayers, even Prabhupada was mumbling something, moving his lips. So he went back to Loknath Swami and asked, if we are offering such eulogies to Prabhupada, but why is he moving his lips? Why is he chanting the Guru Puja? Because he is worshipping his Guru. Hearing that, immediately was convinced. All doubts were cleared. Because the psychology of the spiritual master was so clear, the disciple also became clear. If he surrendered, then my goal is also to surrender. And therefore, Yamaraj, in this verse we find, immediately, as soon as he gets a chance, he explains that, oh my dear Yamdutas, I am not the supreme master. I am simply an insignificant departmental controller. I have a master above me who is the controller of all controllers and the cause of all causes. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on how Krishna is the cause of all causes, the controller of everything, and the supreme master. In one conversation that I was hearing of Srila Prabhupada, actually it was a morning walk in Juhu, the same issue came up, and it was a very interesting discussion between Dr. Patel and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing this point that Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Krishna is the supreme controller, the cause of everything. So Dr. Patel, because he was in a friendly mood with Srila Prabhupada, the rasa was a little different. In fact, at one time in a morning walk, he told Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I can't understand you. So sometimes you deal with me so friendly that I feel very happy to be with you. And sometimes you just hammer me so much, what your disciples will think about me? They will think that I'm just nobody. So in this way, their relationship was something very unique. So Srila Prabhupada was, in an authoritative way, as an acharya, was explaining, was emphasizing this point about Krishna being the supreme controller, creator. And then Dr. Patel, just to add on to what Prabhupada was telling, you know, because he also was very knowledgeable, Prabhupada's friend, he said, yes, Prabhupada, Krishna is the supreme doer also. In fact, he is the cause of everything. Nothing happens without his will. And what are we? We are simply witness. He is responsible for everything. We are responsible for nothing. We are simply seers. We just watch things happening. Immediately, Prabhupada interjected. He said, no, you are the doer. What? Of course, Prabhupada said, you are the doer. And then Prabhupada gave an example that two examples he gave. He said, if somebody bangs the car with another car, then who is blamed? Is the car blamed or is the person blamed? The person is blamed because he has banged the car. Or if your clothes are moving, then are the clothes moving on their own? Or because you are moving the clothes, therefore they are moving? So if simply the body is performing activities and you are not doing anything, you're simply the seer, simply watching, then that is wrong because a dead body doesn't move and doesn't do anything. You within the body is doing everything. You are the doer. You are responsible. And Prabhupada was hammering him left, right, and center. If you smoke, you drink, and you say Krishna is the doer. So he just, you know, he's just accepting Prabhupada's mercy. The morning walk continued. And then when the mood became a little lighter again, one devotee said, but Prabhupada, just a few days before you were telling us, Prakriti Kriya Manani, Gune Karmani Sarvasha, Ahankara Vimudatma Kartahamiti Manyate. If somebody thinks he's the doer, then he's a fool. Ahankara Vimudatma. The material nature is doing everything. Prabhupada said, that is all right. That is a diseased condition of the living entity. The living entity wants to do so many things, but because he's diseased, he cannot do anything, so material nature does everything for him. He has desires, but all those desires become controlled by material nature. So material nature is doing. But he's responsible. He is responsible. And Prabhupada was emphasizing this point, that it is not by chance that everything is happening. Krishna is the doer. So then another devotee said, but Prabhupada was emphasizing that nothing happens by chance. There is a cause of everything. So this devotee said, but Prabhupada, the bhakti is causeless, no? How can there be cause of everything? Everything has a cause, but bhakti, we have heard Prabhupada is causeless. Prabhupada said, no, bhakti also has a cause. And what is the cause of bhakti? Cause of bhakti is bhakti itself. So Prabhupada was just trying to push this point further and further, that Krishna is the cause of everything, but that does not mean that, like the Mayavadis say, that he is responsible for all my sinful acts. I am just watching and I'm not doing anything. No, we are responsible. Just like a dead body cannot do anything, we do through the body. But then again, the material nature is responsible also, because in a diseased condition, we can't do our original activities. So Krishna is the doer, ultimately sanctioner. He is the cause. We are also the cause of, as a living entity, because we have desires. But because our desires are perverted, the material nature, we are doing everything with the help of material nature. However, Prabhupada is now emphasizing that bhakti has a cause. And what is the cause of this bhakti? Bhakti in the heart of another devotee. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, when Sanatan Goswami had left home, ran away from the prison, and he was walking, and reached Varanasi, he was waiting outside the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, where he was eager to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Chandrasekhar that you go out and see a great devotee has come. So Chandrasekhar went out, and he saw that there was no great devotee. There was simply a Daravish, a hippie, Prabhupada writes, with long hair, dirty clothes, a mendicant, a fakir. So he came back inside and said, Prabhupada, no great devotee, Lord Chaitanya, no great devotee outside. So then Lord Chaitanya personally comes outside, embraces Sanatan Goswami, brings Sanatan Goswami inside, gives him an elevated seat to sit. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts cleaning his body because of so many days of traveling. There was dirt on his body. And Sanatan says, my Lord, please don't touch me. Please don't touch me. I'm very dirty. And then the Lord, to express his affection for Sanatan, speaks a very beautiful verse. Prabhu kahe tomas parshi atma pavitrite bhakti bala para tumi brahmanda shodite. He said, Prabhu kohe tomara sparshe. Why am I touching you? Atma pavitrite. So that I become purified. My dear Sanatan, you are so pure. Bhakti bala para tumi. By the force of your devotional service, brahmanda shodite, you can purify the entire universe. So it is this force of devotional service within the heart of a devotee, which is the cause of bhakti within the hearts of other living entities and the entire universe. Bhakti bale para tumi, brahmanda shodite. This entire universe can be purified by that force of devotional service within the heart of such a great devotee like Sanatan Goswami. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, another time, in his affection, in his ecstasy of seeing Sanatan Goswami, he says, Akshno phalam twadrisha darshanam hi, tano phalam twadrisha gatra sparshah, jiva phalam twadrisha kirtanam hi, sudurlaba bhagavata hi manushya loke. It's very interesting. The devotees are claiming that, my dear Lord, the perfection of my eyes is to see your beautiful form. Otherwise, these eyes are nothing but the eyes on the peacock plumes, peacock feathers. And here the Lord is expressing his love for his devotee. Akshno phalam tva drisha darshanam hi. The perfection of my eyes, Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatan, is to see your beautiful form. Jiva tano phalam tva drisha gatra sparshah. The perfection of my hands is to embrace you. The perfection of my jiva, the tongue, is twadrisha kirtanam hi. Why? What is the logic? Why the Supreme Personality of Godhead is expressing that the perfection of his eyes, his hands, and his body is to embrace, and his tongue is to glorify the devotee? Sudurlaba bhagavata hi manushya loke. Because it is very, very rare to find such a great bhagavata in this world. So we see how this bhakti in the heart of a devotee is the cause of devotional service in others. And where does a devotee get this bhakti? Immediately the devotee points to the master. It's not mine. I am not the boss. I am not the lord and master. It is Krishna, which we find here, Yamaraj explaining in these purports. If we surrender to Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, and express that Krishna is the Supreme Master and point towards Him, that Krishna is the person who should be taken shelter of, then and then alone can the dependents develop the right mentality and they can be liberated from this material world. Because on our own, or nobody has the strength to deliver or liberate anyone. Therefore, one must surrender to Krishna, and every ideal leader and master will point to his authority, who is ultimately a surrendered servant of Krishna. Therefore, you find in the 11th canto a beautiful verse which explains how Krishna comes into this world, performs activities and pastimes, and still is completely aloof and separated. Janma karma che me divyam evam yoveti tattvatah tyaktva deham punar janma neti mameti swarjuna. If one just understands Krishna's birth and pastimes, then while being surrendered to Krishna, the beauty is that one also becomes transcendental. If one just understands that Krishna's birth and pastimes are transcendental, then that understanding raises the living entity also to become transcendental. So, when Krishna was leaving this world, at that time, Parikshit Maharaj could have had a doubt that what is happening? Krishna is going back to Godhead, he's leaving this world, and he's going back to his own abode, but he's leaving a body in this world. So, to clear all his doubts, and to clear the doubts of all the living entities to follow forever in the future, Shukadev Goswami explains Krishna's transcendental position. Martyena yo guru sutam yamaloka nitam tvam chana yacharanada paramastra dagdam jigyenta kantakam api shamasi asavanishah kim swavane swaranayan mrigayum swadeham. Here, Shukadeva Goswami is doing two things. One, he's showing that how Krishna can be in this world and still remain completely transcendental and aloof. And second, he is inspiring Parikshit Maharaj and all the readers of the Bhagavatam to take shelter of that transcendental Supreme Personality who can show these transcendental pastimes in this world and thus pick us up also. And he gives some examples to show, to prove it beyond doubt, that Krishna is transcendental. He explains how the children of his guru Sandipani Muni had been taken Yamalokanitam to Yamalok. And Krishna in the self-same body, of the children, brought them back to Sandipani Muni. Martyena yo guru sutam yamalokanitam. Martyena, in the self-same material body, Krishna brought the children back. And therefore, one can surrender to Krishna because Krishna can protect you completely. Even this body. And to prove it, he said, Parikshit Maharaj, don't you remember? Tvam chanayat sharanada paramastra dagdam. Paramastra dagdam. By the great and powerful astra, Brahmastra, your body was destroyed, burnt to ashes. But Krishna recreated the body. Tvam chanayat sharanada. Therefore, he is sharanada. One who can actually give protection. Jigyenta kantakam api asavanisha. And then he explains something more interesting. Jigyenta kantakam. Antaka is the agents of death. That is the Yamadutas. Antaka, antakam. Antakam is one who kills the agents of death. That is Yamaraj. Jigyenta kantakam api shama. And their apisham, one who kills the agent of death, the master of death, who kills the agents of death, who provides death, that is Lord Shiva, Jigyenta, Lord Shiva defeated him also. Therefore, who else but Lord Krishna is the person who you can take shelter of? He's transcendental within this world. He performs his activities just like a magician shows illusion and then he winds it up and then goes away. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the previous purport tells a beautiful story of how a magician one time came to a king and he started showing the king some tricks. How he took a necklace and he said, King, this necklace doesn't belong to you. Now it belongs to me. And the necklace disappeared. A huge heap of gold coins. He said, King, these gold coins don't belong to you. Now they belong to me. And they disappeared. In this way, he disappeared thousands of horses. And in some time, he started telling the king that your family members are having a big fight. And they're fighting amongst themselves. And while he was speaking, the king right in front of his eyes was seeing all his family members and soldiers fighting amongst themselves and killing themselves. And after seeing such a huge massacre, the magician is telling the king that I'm just disgusted with this whole thing. So I'm going to just give up my body. And he sits in a yogic mudra and he creates, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he immediately shows the stages of pratyahar, dharana, dhyan, samadhi, and then his body bursts into flame of ashes, into flame and burns to ashes. And seeing this, the king is just overwhelmed. This is too much. A few days later, when the magician goes back to his house in his own province, he sends his daughter. And the daughter comes to the king and says, King, how did you like the magician's magic? He is at home, happy. And here are all your gold coins and all your soldiers and all your horses. It was just a magical illusion that he had created. And the king is just amazed. And then he gives a great dakshina to the daughter of this magician. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if an ordinary magician of this world can simulate birth and death, then cannot the Supreme Personality of Godhead come into this world and show birth, show his living pastimes, and show the activities that he performs in this world, but is not entangled in any of the modes of this material nature. He always remains transcendental to this world. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says, Tvam chana yacharanada paramastradagdam. You are the one who can give shelter, sharanadaha. Because all your pastimes are transcendental. And if one can actually understand these pastimes in truth, by the mercy of a devotee, by the force of devotion within his heart, then one also becomes transcendental. So we find in this verse the perfect psychology of a true master like Yamaraj, who is immediately pointing that it is not me who is the supreme controller, O Yamdutas, it is actually Krishna himself. And we also see who is a bona fide recipient to hear and receive this knowledge. Somebody who is not too much intoxicated by the pride of successes, like the Yamdutas were. In some previous verse we saw, they said that we were successful everywhere we went, unimpeded in our activities. And neither in the depression or frustration of trying to commit suicide just because they could not achieve success in some activity. Rather, when they humbly inquired, with nothing else to say, then these messages will penetrate their heart. And we'll see in the future verses how Yamaraj will actually give a Bhagavatam class, Im Yam Lok, to the Yamdutas. And we'll see that transformation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's time up, so we'll stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai go.